Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
It does. Very much in your soul.
As long as you have one. Most of us have them. People down in Sacramento don't have them.
Yeah, Newsom doesn't have one.
Nope. Dracula.
I know. If people are so worried about what's happening with the presidency, we're already in a totalitarian government with King Newsom.
Yeah, just get a little snapshot of California. That's what, you know, the other side wants to take with the whole U.S. Can you imagine what a hot mess that would be?
Mm-hmm.
That would be a cluster beyond clusters.
Oh, boy. Anyway, this is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter and Travis, our producer. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Nice shirt, man.
Thank you. My daughter got it for me.
Did she?
Girls are good for that.
Yeah, they are.
They are. Perfect.
How old's your daughter, buddy?
She just turned 9 a few weeks ago.
Oh, how cool was that?
She's still at the fun age where she still loves you.
Don't remind me. That's happening. I'm
not talking back yet. Wait till she's 12.
Well, she's doing it now.
Little rehearsal.
We're broadcasting live from KCNR 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, and 1460 AM, your talk radio. If you have a question or comment,
we don't want to hear it.
Yeah, we do.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah. As long as you agree with us.
Yeah. And if you don't, we don't want to hear it.
Right. 530-605-4567. 530-605-67. And? We are here with a very good friend and a patriot, Dan Scovel. Wynn, would you like to introduce our friend?
Yeah, Dan is from the Cottonwood area, and he is the first sergeant of Alpha Company of the California Militia here in Shasta County. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Did I state the stats there?
Yeah, it's California State Militia. But
California State Militia.
That works.
Okay.
Soon to be Jefferson State Militia.
Yeah.
There you go. I just got a sign on the dotted line, right? With blood.
Anyway, we're here with Dan, and what we'd like to know is, you know, how did this, number one, how did this start? And then, number two, the other thing we'd like to hear about is, you know, a lot of people have maybe a misconception about what the militia is, and you could kind of clarify that for us. I know how much you do for the community, for the kids in our community, and everything else. So, anyway, brother, it's your party.
Well, let me just start with this. I'll kind of give you a little background. We started our group back in the summer of 2010. You know, that was after the Obama administration came to power, and we started seeing some things potentially could go wrong in our country as we're seeing today. It's really showing itself now. So what we did is we got together, and we sat in a barn, and we discussed it, me and 11 other men. And there was all kinds of ideas on what we're going to do to prepare and to you know, protect our communities. How are we going to go about that? Well, there was one idea came. There was lots of them. One idea came was, you know, let's do a militia. Militia's been around since the founding of the country. We have constitutional right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We get to train differently. We can do a lot of things that a lot of other groups cannot. So there was a lot of thought into that. We just started to start training, and we had people put up training cards, we call them. We had constitutional classes. We had new recruit classes. We had all these things to come in, and it started to become more of a, at first, kind of military. We kind of wanted it not to be like that, and it evolved into other things. And so you can even bring the word militia up. That was almost, oh, you can't say that. You know, what do you? You know, that's crazy. It sounds radical, but it wasn't. All these guys that were there. Different races, different backgrounds, just patriots, business owners, family men, you know, regular people. And so we came together and we started doing some training, things like that. And then that evolved into other things. And we needed to kind of rebrand our name because you couldn't really say militia. So, you know, it seemed to offend people, scare people off. And it would, we didn't want to do that. And we started doing some things like some gun shows. We actually did, when we came out for the first time, it was a sheriff convention. I think it was 2011. And we call it, when we came out of the closet, you might say. And people were a little shocked to see that there's a militia group and like that.
Is it just because they're naive on what militia is?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's been the word militia has been tarnished throughout the years, and it's just become, you hear it in third world countries, and they sound radical. But an American militia, that's different. We're patriots, and so we believe in the Constitution, God, family. You know, we have two books. It's the Bible and the Constitution. That's mm-hmm. that's our rule book, and so we abide by that. And so we did the sheriff convention that led into gun shows and different things like that. And then we started a group called the Cottonwood Community Watch Program. And that became very successful. But even then, we were called vigilantes by our sheriff at the time. And Terry remembers that.
Yep.
Yeah.
We were doing a gun show one time, and he called the vigilantes right to our face. And
that was our sheriff, our past sheriff.
Yeah,
our
past sheriff.
Vasinko.
Right. And so we got a lot of bad raps, and they would say, well, you don't have a right to be out patrolling. You don't have a, you know, who do you think you are? And all these, well, we do have a right to protect yourself and protect our communities. I mean, we have a right to do these things, and people don't realize, and they don't see that the Constitution is your, all of our books. It's everybody's, black, white, it don't matter.
Right.
And all these things about when they have these separated groups and different groups, that doesn't need to be like that. The Constitution gives us all the rights. And so so then we got into different things. We started a boys camp, which was ages from 9 to 14. We started realizing they're not teaching anything in schools anymore. I mean, anything as far as history or veterans, just, you know, how you treat people, how you take care of your community and you do things for others. And so we take these kids between the ages of 9 and 14, and they get to be boys. And they get to go out, and they hike, and they learn how to use a compass, and they learn how to build a shelter. And they learn how to drink water out of a river, you know, with a filter, right? And so they rappel. They get to shoot guns, and they all these things. And these kids have the greatest time, and that's about – we do that about twice a year.
Wow, so you're introducing them to manhood.
Yeah, absolutely. And we see these kids develop from just kids kicking dirt around to these young – men in society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yeah.
Why do you stand for the Constitution? What does it mean to be an American? You know, right. We are the greatest country in the world. And, you know, before there was an America, there was nothing but kings, tyrants, and dictators.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something. We have
sounds
something.
Like California.
Yeah, that is California. So
California.
So we do train. 80% of the militia is support teams. It's not. It's involvement in our communities, boards, you know.
Search and rescue.
Search and rescue. All kinds of different things. We have people that were on the Chamber of Commerce, which I did that for a couple of years. You know, we're just. I mean, we're almost involved with everything. We try to get people. So people don't realize you can come into the militia. You don't have to – it's not about running up a hill and shooting guns and stuff like that. It's nothing to do with that. That's a small percentage of the militia that does that. And we have to know how to do that in case worst-case scenarios.
Right.
And so we do train for it and hope to God we never have to use that. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we do train for, but we also are involved with other groups too.
Yeah, one of the things that's really amazing, I know when you do these camps, you teach the kids the Constitution, you do Bible studies, and all that good stuff. And so it's just, I mean, teaching these young men to be men, and to be men of God and patriots, is really something special. And I know that the Cottonwood Militia Community Watch in Cottonwood has been absolutely amazing when it comes to the fair, the rodeo. That was an amazing, amazing time. Not one incident. It was just amazing.
Yeah.
And 3,000 people. I know I left at 3:30, and I was standing right at the front of the rodeo, right at the very front at the entrance. The militia was there. I was right there, and I saw everybody that came in and left. There were people smiling, hugging each other, having a good time. You know, it was just amazing. And when I left, there were still people coming, and I left at 3:30. So they say 3,000. I think it was more than that. And then you also did another event, which was the car rally, the Back the Blue rally. What exactly was that again?
Well, we had a car rally. I put on the car show, me and a few people every year, and they pulled our permits because of the COVID. And we said, well, fine, then let's do a cruise instead. And the cruise, we had shirts made and, you know, neat stuff. And we had a band out there, and people came out there. You know, bring your old car, get something to eat, and then park and sit there.
Cervezas.
You just do whatever you want. And the rules were that there was no rules.
No.
And, you know, we can't have people telling us what to do, although we were all cautious. We were careful, you know, but we had fun, and people had a great time. And it was Back to Blue. We back our police and sheriff's department all the way, so...
That was a good event.
We do have a caller on the line, Chad. What say you, sir?
Hi, Terry. This is Jack Parsons, El Dorado County.
Oh, Jack. So she says Chad here.
Yeah, Jack. Okay. How you doing, Jack?
Want to put me back on hold?
No. Good. Go ahead.
You've got a question or a comment.
Oh, no. I was calling in to talk about what we're doing for El Dorado County guys in Southern Cold. So.
Oh.
Oh, well, let's hear it.
Let's hear it, yeah.
Shoot away. Dan would like to hear that. Shoot away.
Okay. I hate to step on the other thing. Basically, so there was a rally yesterday in Georgetown. I think probably the people from Placer County will tell you more about that. And then some of us are going to go out with Jefferson and Newsom and Sedition this Friday coming up at Shingles Boulevard, Shingle Springs, and Ponderosa Road. And that's the next thing we've got going on. I had a quick comment from last week, too, that I meant to make to you guys, and that was on the people in the New California movement. I had met, as you know, with management of...
Who exactly was that? Who exactly was that?
Paul Preston.
Okay.
Paul Preston and some of his lieutenants.
Okay.
I met with them a couple years ago when they were trying to recruit us over. And, you know, they were, at that time, they were saying that President Trump was going to be stepping in and helping their movement. And that obviously has not happened at this point. And then, number two, they'd also said that in 12 to 18 months, the state of California was going to collapse entirely financially. And that was the basis of how they would be able to step in and do the thing with their senators and assembly people that they've appointed for the counties.
They appointed their senators and assemblymen? Appointed them?
Of course. Yes, there was no vote on it. And so if you were interested, you were made a senator or a assemblyman.
Interesting.
Unbelievable.
Of course, it's been over 2 years now, and we're in a horrible financial crisis with income and stuff. And the state of California still hasn't rolled over and said, hey, we're out of business. So, you know, their path forward hasn't looked very good either, and I hope that a lot of them will reconsider Jefferson and what we're trying to do with the petition, because that's obviously what's happening with Governor Newsom at this point, and go from there as hopefully we can get our state going.
So right. When Jack's
that was
talking,
really all I had.
And what Jack's talking about is he's talking about the support statement that we have in that the governor and government of the state of California is in sedition, which they are. You know, I think that that's something we'll probably talk about with Dan a little bit here, too. Very shortly. But, Jack, anyway, can you give us one more time what you guys are doing there in El Dorado County and the address of where you're doing it and when you're doing it, sir?
Yeah, well, this will be this coming Friday, 2 o'clock, at the corner of Ponderosa and Shingle Springs, right off Highway 50. And we'll be there. We'll have some Jefferson stuff, and we'll have statements for people to sign. And one last thing that I wanted to point out, because last week I heard that people couldn't hear me, and that is, if you need Jefferson signs, I still have some in stock.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
4x8s and 8x8 signs. They're $15 for 4x4 and $30 for 4x8. I'll make arrangements to deliver them to you, or we can meet and we can hand them off. You can email me at djack.parsons@gmail.com. So it's D like in Delta, J-A-Z-K dot Parsons. @gmail.com. That was it.
Fantastic, brother. Okay, Jack, we love you. Thanks for everything you do down there, and time has really come up for 51. We're going to have to scoot off to our break here. And when we come back, we'll be back with Dan Scovel. Thanks again, Jack.
Thank you,
Jack. Have a good
day.
Thanks.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Sorry, buddy. You're awesome. Okay, so.
We're back.
We are. That was quick.
That was quick.
Wow.
We like those short breaks.
Yeah.
It's like a short rest stop and off you go.
It is.
All right. We're back here with Dan Scovel.
We are. And if you want Jefferson gear, you want to gear up for Jefferson gear or Second Amendment gear, you can go to Ace Hardware in Anderson on Mark's Way. You can go to Ace Hardware on Eureka Way. You can go to Ace Hardware on Cascade Boulevard. You can go to Wendy Lou's Mini Mart in Cottonwood. And Wendy Lou's, not only can you get a Jefferson hat, a Second Amendment hat, you ladies Second Amendment hats, shirts, but you also can get ice-cold cerveza.
Really?
Great place.
Yeah, they sold out of beer that night on the car.
We did. We did. I know. You and I think helped with that, didn't we, brother?
Yeah.
And there were some burnouts going on.
There was
a little bit of that going on.
And I don't want to forget Clear Creek Grocery, Clear Creek Market right there on 273. So anyway, support those folks. They support Jefferson. And also, I think that we need to be understanding right now that the state of California is the real issue. We have some tremendous things that are going on federally, and yes, we all pray and hope that the president gets reelected. He should win, and Dan and I are going to talk about that in a minute. I think the thing that we have to understand is there's so many things happening locally, and really that's where the battle's fought, and we'll get into that too. But right now we do have a phone call, and it's Jimmy. How are you, Jimmy? You don't get on the calls anymore. I've been trying to get a hold of you, brother.
But I've been...
You're cutting out, Jimmy.
You've been breaking up on your phone.
We can't hear you.
Oh, how's that?
That's better.
That's better,
Yeah, I've been out of town, and, I'd like to hear your comments on Alex Padilla potentially becoming the next California senator. And this is a guy that has sued the Trump administration over 100 times with our tax dollars.
Well, the whole thing is that really and truly, as far as California goes, how do you fix the unbreakable? Or how do you fix the broken?
Exactly. I just wanted to throw that out there because when I heard that they were going to nominate, or because Gavin Newsom's going to appoint him, right? Is that true?
In the absence of who?
Yeah.
Kamala Harris.
Well, actually, there should be a special election, and I don't know whether he can appoint anybody or not, but here's the real deal, Jimmy. The bottom line is the state of California doesn't follow any laws. They don't follow anything. I mean, they've declared California a sanctuary state. They've given taxpayer money to illegals. They've made trade agreements with China. They've colluded and formed environmental agreements with Oregon. They reinstated the Paris Climate Accord. They declared California a nation state, which is sedition. They changed 200 laws without legislative vote. He has you under basically house arrest where you can't go anywhere. He is using mandates and using tactics to keep people under suppression. And here's the real deal. The deal is this guy goes out and goes to a restaurant and spends, a $15,000 bar bill, and he goes out to a restaurant, and he's shutting down restaurants everywhere. I mean, okay, so what's the surprise? It's already gone. It's already gone. What we have to start asking ourselves is, does the Republican Party really have any weight anymore to help anything? What's your thoughts on that, Dan?
Well, that's what I wanted to hear, and I'll take your answer off the air.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, Jimmy.
Well, we're kind of seeing what's happening in America right now with all this voter fraud that went on. It's pretty obvious what's been going on. And I tell you what, California is probably the worst, if not the worst state in the union for voter fraud. And so one of the things that I'm hearing is that they're going to audit California if this all goes the way we're hoping, and that these things are seen for what they are in the fraud in the United States, what California's been doing a long time.
Well, let's start right here in River City.
Yeah.
Let's just go right down here to Placer and just have them start auditing the Dominion machines that are used for Shasta County's elections. Yes, Dominion machines are used in Shasta County.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the 40 counties in the state.
A whole lot of counties.
There are 40 counties in the state that use the Dominion machines that are the ones that are the huge problems, and Shasta County, albeit, is one of them. And that just made me so angry when I saw that on the list. I called the registrar's office, and I have a friend that works there. It won't say any names, but contacted them, and they said yes. And I said, what the hell are you guys thinking? She said, I don't have any control over that. And I said, I know you don't. I was just venting. So anyway, it's very maddening that this is occurring here in Shasta County in Northern California. We need to go back to paper ballots. There is absolutely no flippin' reason in the world not to do paper ballots other than that people are being absolutely lazy on tabulating the votes.
Notice he said flippin'. We're protecting you, Travis. We have Stonewall on the line. Stonewall, what say you, sir?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Okay. What's up?
I had a couple of things. I wanted to talk with Dan a little bit, but I wanted to tail end on what Wynn just had to say. Down here in Tuolumne County, we also use the Dominion machines, and I reached out to my registrar, asked her for serial numbers, model numbers, software versions, everything, manuals, and I could on the machines that we have. She wrote me back saying, well, you don't have to worry because we're not connected to the Internet. I said, that's not what my request was. I said, you still have a USB key, and I can get the machine language, and that'll tell me everything I need to know about who's accessed those machines and when they've been opened up and what's happened with them. And then she sends me a statement from Dominion Company and their CEO stating that everything that I'm hearing coming out of these hearings and stuff is all categorically false. So I wrote her back and I said, are you going to put your faith into a CEO who has everything to lose because his company's on the line, or are you going to listen to a 30-year Army veteran colonel who has done this kind of cyber stuff his entire life, and he's put his entire career under perjury laws to be imprisoned on the line? I said, I'm going to go with the colonel. I'm not going to go with the guy whose motive is profit and deception. Yeah. And so right now it's kind of a stalemate. She hasn't sent me what I've asked for. I haven't done the formal request through the – well, they don't call it a FOIA in California, but that's basically where I'm at. So for Dan, I wanted to ask him really quick. I've reached out and met with I believe they're called Echo Company down here in the Tuolumne County, Stanislaus County area. But I'm just interested – I'm a little confused about how the structure of the militia works in California, battalion regiments, things like that, companies. If you could just talk a little bit about that, I'd be really interested.
Yeah, I can go over some of that. We have four companies in California. One's the Central California area, and then you have the Bay Area, and then you have L.A., and then, of course, Northern California, which is us. And we are in conversations with them weekly. We have meetings, phone conferences with them all the time. We're all on the same page. We understand what we're up against. And we have multiple platoons around those areas, too. So those platoons can be from 30 to 50 per platoon. And if you put them all together, that's what you get you the company in there. So, and this has been going on for, I say, we've been doing this for about 10 years now. And we all train the same schedules. We do most of the same things. Of course, most of those places are urban. And we are rural, so it's a little different than the trains, but we are on the same page as far as how we conduct ourselves and how we are, you know, what our next move would be. And so a lot of people may not know this, but the militia is really the last line of defense. It's the very last. It's like what you do with your gun laws, or the right to defend yourself would be, is my life in danger? That's really how the militia is, too. And we prepare people, and we get them ready and teach them self-reliance and get them involved in their communities and get them just being part of something, you know, other than just so many things that we can do, like with our, you know, with our boards and be involved with just so many things. And really the militia is that, and that's what we've become now. So I don't know if that answered all your questions, but.
Anyway, we do have to go off to a break. It's 9:30, so we've got to hit our break. It's kind of a hard one. Anyway, Dave, if you want to hold on for over through the break, if you have one more question, that'd be great. You can just hang on with us, brother. Okay?
Okay. I probably won't, but everybody go to the meet and greets if they hold them in your area. Talk to you guys later.
Yes. All right.
Meet
Thanks.
And greets if they hold it in the area. We'll
Thank you,
talk
Stonewall.
About that next. Thank you, Stonewall.
Okay, the time has come.
For 51, let's get it done.
Amen.
Listen close to what I say. Don't try and take my guns away. You're in the land of the free. This is the home of the brave. And I ain't gonna be your slave.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 7 with the Sue McClain News Hour. I'll have your up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding routes, pop culture, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com.
At Golden Valley Bank, our mission is to create a truly unique local banking experience. We understand how important it is to be known and heard by your bank. That's why we take the time to connect with you and the community you live in. When you bank with us, we put your money back into our community by supporting local nonprofits who provide services for those that need it most. Golden Valley Bank, a bank built for business, a bank built for community, a bank built for you. Learn more at goldenvalley.bank. Member FDIC.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
The American way. All the things we fought and died for. And a great price that was paid.
We're back.
We didn't go anywhere.
Mm-mm. And we're here with Dan Scoville from the California State Militia. And what we'd... Stonewall, who was our last caller, did make a comment about the meet and greet. You want to explain what that is, Dan?
Yeah, meet and greet is just the place where we go to talk about our militia and what we do and who we are. And we're also going to have one coming up here in December the 20th. And that will be in Cottonwood. And I don't mind giving out my phone number. Anybody wants to call me after the show or anytime next week, and I can get them up to speed on that. You're more than welcome to go there. You sit in, you listen. If you feel like, you know, move further, and you just go and do more things with us.
How often do you do those?
We do the new classes about once a month.
Okay.
And we've been averaging since this whole thing started happening this summer, anywhere from 30 to 50 every month.
Nice.
And like I say, a lot of people say, well, what can I do? Well, there's a lot of things that you can do.
There's a lot of counties, too, that have some young people that are very interested in this, level-headed young people, a lot of level-headed young veterans. And also, is there a way that they can reach out to you?
Yeah, I can give you my number.
Okay.
Area code 530-353-3500. 9326. You can call and leave a message. I'll get back to you, and then we'll get you into the class, and you just sit in. And the classes take about an hour is all. And if you want to move that to go to the trainings, and you can do that too, or get involved, because we have so many things that we do in the trainings just themselves is medical comms.
Sure.
I mean, we have a little bit. You learn a lot of things in there.
Is there an age limit? I mean, is there an age where you would prefer to start and then where you cut off? Is there a cutoff on age?
Well, 18. The militia, of course, you want to be 18 or older.
Okay.
If you're younger, you bring your father, your mother, you can come out. You're more than welcome.
Oh, so as long as the parent is there to attend through the whole training with the child?
Yeah, and then the youngers, of course, go through the kids camp.
And that starts at age 9?
That's age 9. We have taken some 8-year-olds, but they have to kind of be ready to go, you know.
And they're basically 9 to 14?
9 to 14. Okay. And we actually, the last camp we had from the kids, the previous 3 years of camps, actually ran the camp.
Wow. That's cool.
They've gone through it
It. They now became the squad leaders and the team leaders.
And that's exactly what you want to do.
Yeah, you're teaching them how to become leaders in their society.
And then guess what? They're going to do better in school. Well, and they're going to be contributors to society instead of drainers of society.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really is something. So I think we're on to something. And eventually we're going to have these camps in the rest of the state, too. That's something I'm working on. And for the women out here in the audience, we are going to start a girls' camp, I'm hoping, this year.
Oh, good.
So we'll get that going. And the women's camp, that's going to be run by women only. You know, we'll have the leaders. They're going to have the same kind of blueprint as ours, but they're going to be – there's a lot of things these girls now, you see them in their cell phones. They're looking at things, and sex trafficking is a big deal.
Yep.
And missing kids and all this, and they need to be aware of that. Why aren't we teaching that in schools? Why aren't we teaching these things in schools?
To protect them. Man. To protect the kids.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that we do of course, we do it for the adults too, but in our kids' camps, we teach them how to use a tourniquet.
Yeah.
When they had the Florida shooting out there, a lot of those kids sat and watched other kids bleed out.
Yeah.
They had no idea. Not that they sat there and had their camera out screaming at, you know. That's not how we're supposed to do this.
No.
And so that's what the camp really does, give a lot of that.
Well, you know, this is amazing. And, folks, this is really it's the culmination of some things that have happened over the last few years with people like Woody and Dan that really have been great leaders in this whole militia position. Now, the thing that's really kind of cool is the fact that you talked about how we can get other counties engaged. We'll talk about that later. I have some ideas on how we can get some of these other counties and maybe get the leaders of the of each county from Jefferson and have you come on and maybe do a conference call and talk to every one of these counties. Would you be willing to do that?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Anything to move these things forward.
And, you know, this is a man now who's putting himself out there. This is a man with some stones. He's putting himself out there. He gave his phone number out, 530-353-9326. That's 530-353-9326, Dan Scovel. And, you know, here's a guy that is willing to take it on, as all these gentlemen are. These leaders in the militia are all willing to take on the responsibility of helping people understand the Constitution, helping people understand how they can protect themselves and what their rights are. And I know when Jimmy called in a while ago, Jimmy, I hear you. I mean, how much more of this crap are we going to put up with, folks? How much more of this crap are we going to put up with when we have a governor who is a communist, who is a criminal? He's committed a federal crime, Title 8, Code Section 1324. He has violated the immigration laws. He has violated the United States Code in that he is harboring and shielding illegal aliens. That's a federal crime. And that's just one of them.
And he's not alone in doing that. It's his administration that's doing it as well.
And the legislative body that agrees with him.
All the way down to our elected officials locally. Not one of them have stepped up to bring charges against him. Not one of them. None of our elected officials have done that. Not one.
No stones.
That's
right. We do have a caller on the line. Kristen. Hello?
Yes, sir. Hello.
Yeah, Kristen.
So, I just missed that one comment there. Talking about bringing charges up against elected officials. Are you talking about elected officials that are harboring illegal aliens?
It's Title 8, Code Section 1324, United States Code. It is illegal to harbor or shield an illegal alien, which is what a sanctuary state is. Because, see, when
I see.
You see?
Okay.
Okay.
So I understand that. I get that. And so is the militia planning on some sort of a violent uprising to defend against that?
You know, I don't even know if I want to. I mean,
well, I can answer some of that.
Yeah.
I mean, worst case scenario, if it come down to it, of course, that's what it's for. But that is the last line of defense.
Right.
Last line of defense.
Okay. So, in other words, if the illegal aliens show up with guns and whatnot, and they're wanting to kind of take over, that's where the militia steps in, because basically the government ain't doing nothing about
it. Absolutely right. That's what the Second Amendment was written for.
I got a question about the militia. It kind of reminds me of, back in the 60s and whatnot, the 70s, we had the Black Panther movement. And a lot of people thought that they were the black militia. Yeah, so it sounds like you guys kind of have a lot in common.
Well, yeah, but see, I don't know if they let a lot of whites in their knew their group, you know. We have blacks, we have Hispanic, we have Asians. We are about the Constitution. And I don't have nothing against the Black Panthers. I don't really know what they do. But I will say that we are constitutionalists, and we strictly go by the book. We do not go outside that at all. It is exactly how it's written.
Yeah, and I have one thing, Kristen, that I do want to bring up to you. What county are you from, my friend? What county?
Chester.
Okay, the reason I want to bring up something to you, and that is that, you know, you've got local officials that are taking away your constitutional rights.
Yep.
You have a supervisor.
Who's
the supervisors.
Board of Supervisors.
They don't have the constitutional right to have a position of closing the county or following any of these illegal mandates, illegal demands of the governor, because even the Supreme Court, for example, has given their opinion that's been followed by almost every state now in the United States, and that is that Let me finish. And so the thing is that you can be stopped going to church by the governor. The governor can cite pastors. The governor can cite people in church. And that's okay, even though the Supreme Court says, no, you can't do that. That's a violation of the Constitution. So I think that maybe what we need to do is we need to be showing up at the boards of supervisors and demanding that they reopen our county because they're violating the Constitution.
No, I get that. I get that. Now, I mean, I understand your position, and I understand that that's your interpretation.
No, that is the interpretation. That's a violation of the Constitution. But we do have another caller on the line, sir. We have another caller on the line, so we're gonna go right over to the other caller. Here we go. Richard, what you got?
Yep, I'm here.
Hey Rich, how's it going, buddy?
How's it going, Richard?
Hey, good morning everybody. I have a new assignment for Cottonwood, California. They did such a good job with their crews because of the lack of the crews we have. Well, after I tell you what happened last night with the, quote, Christmas parade, I think California can step up and put together a Christmas parade in the next couple weeks that will blow away what I saw last night. It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
Lori and I were there, okay? They had about, first of all, traffic backed up crazy on all the streets. No law enforcement there to do any traffic control. Backed up onto the highway. People angry. People having to use the bathroom. Some people were in line in their cars over an hour, some up to 2 hours before they even got in to the gate. That's how backed up it was. Laura and I walked inside. Wow, what a sad sight. Such a sad sight. I would say 25 entries at most. The largest entry was a flatbed tow truck. All the entries were on one side of the driveway. So the entries were only half decorated on one side. No trailers with bands and massive decorations. Nobody smiling because everybody was wearing masks. Outside, yes, you heard me. They said, the lady at the table said, the health officer mandated that they all wear masks, even though they were all outside.
Mandated, which means, again, that proves the point we just had with the last caller. Mandated that you wear a mask, which is illegal. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. And most of these, I wouldn't even call them entries. Two of the 25 entries were pop-up tents with lights around the edges with a table and a banner. And those were some local radio stations. And those were considered entries for a Christmas parade? Are you kidding me? I was so embarrassed, and I wasn't even part of the 2030 Club that sponsored this thing.
So this
I was embarrassed for them. And let me tell you something. Lori and I, we put out the Board of Supervisors message number 225-5270 with our speaker. We talked to people. We were well received with about 95%, and there were hundreds of cars. Because remember, the Christmas parade has what? Roughly 10,000 spectators lining the streets, roughly. So you squeeze 10,000 people, four or five apiece, into a car. How many cars is that, right? Let's do the math.
Yeah.
And then guess what? At about 8:40, it opened at 6. At 8:40, they literally shut the gate. They said nobody else is allowed in. And I counted probably 50 to 100 cars still left waiting to get in. Boy, were people hot. So I really, oh, wow, such an embarrassment, folks.
Hey, so, Rich,
we can't accept this as a new normal. Absolutely unacceptable.
So, Rich, this is the Reading Light Parade that was held in Anderson. Is that correct?
This was the Reading Christmas Parade was canceled, so they moved it to the Shasta County Fairgrounds, and now it's not a parade, right? The floats weren't moving. The spectators are moving. That's not a parade, folks.
Good grief.
This is not George Orwell, 1984, where you redefine the word parade. No, no, and did I say no?
So then it was more like, folks. It was more like It's a Small World on no steroids, on,
hey, Richard,
on Debbie Downers.
Richard, can you guys, Richard, we've got to go off to a break. Can you hang on, my friend? Because I know that Dan has something he wants to talk to you about, too. So, okay, hold on, brother, because we have to go off to a break. Sorry about that. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
She sleeps hot, even when the weather outside is frightful.
Jack Frost here likes it cool.
Introducing the new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, now temperature balancing, so you can sleep better together.
But will it keep me asleep?
Yes. It intelligently senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you both effortlessly comfortable.
Will I have more energy for holiday shopping?
Does Rudolph have a red nose? Save up to $1,000 on the new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed and adjustable base, plus special financing. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Okay, we're going to get right back into this. Richard, we're going to finish up with you, then we have Brandy, but there's really important stuff that Dan, we want to have Dan bring up at the end of the program. So anyway, Richard, what say you, sir?
Well, I'm glad we had a break. I was starting to get a little bit upset. but I'll tell you what, there were some people squealing tires when they drove up and they found that gate shut at 8:40 last night. Can you believe that?
Okay.
People trying to give their kids a normal as possible Christmas.
Right.
And they show up because the line was 1 to 2 hours long before you got in that gate.
Good heavens.
And then they
Good
get
heavens.
There and it's closed.
That's
was there anything in the press about that? Probably not.
We did not see any press.
Unbelievable.
Amateur hour. Amateur hour.
You gave a number, Richard. Was it 225-5270? Was that the number you gave for the Board of Supervisors?
That's the one that you leave a 3-minute message on or longer.
Okay.
Yes.
That's very important, folks, to call to the Board of Supervisors, 225-5270, area code 530-225-5270. Call into that number. Leave a comment.
Hey, Rich, quick question. How many displays did they have there last night, roughly?
Displays? I'll say 25, and I'm being very generous.
Okay.
Because remember, pop-up tents with lights and a table and a banner do not include that. That doesn't count as a display. Sorry.
Okay, so they had 25, so you're being generous. So typically on the light parade, there's easily 100. Because we've had our flatbed out there every year that, you know, we could, and we waited for hours just to get in line to run through the parade route, which is always wonderful and well-received by everybody because, you know, who doesn't like a Christmas parade? But for them to put
this
up...
We have a delay. This is a new normal, folks, unless you fight it.
There's no such thing as a new normal.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that. Thank you, Richard. We've got to go to Brandy.
Thank you, brother.
Hey, Brandy, you're here.
Yes.
Hi.
Hey.
What say you, dear?
Hey. I wanted to tell you guys a little bit about what happened at the Stop the Steal rally at the Capitol yesterday.
Okay, you need to speak up a little
sister.
Bit. We can't hear you.
You're really quiet.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes, speak up.
Yes, that's better.
Okay. I wanted to tell you guys about the Stop the Steal rally in Sacramento yesterday. So, we gathered in Rocklin, which was great. We had great energy there. I drove to the Capitol, went around, and then we were told prior to going out there that we wouldn't be fined if we parked at the meters and got out. So, luckily, my family didn't do that because I had my nephew with me. And we decided to leave, and I heard right after we left, Antifa showed up, came, flashed people's tires, broke windows, and the cops did absolutely nothing. So I feel like this is a time where we do have to stand up and fight for each other. Like, they're destroying our personal property.
Yeah,
have to stand up.
Let me ask you this. Was that on the Capitol grounds, was that the Highway Patrol's jurisdiction or the police jurisdiction, or do you know?
Well, if they're on the city street,
that'd be police.
That'd be the city police.
I think it was CHP out there.
Yeah, we were up there. It was CHP.
It was CHP.
But that's on the Capitol grounds.
I think so.
Do they have jurisdiction?
The cops were everywhere. They didn't do anything. I love our police. I 100% back the blue, but that was absolutely ridiculous. Antifa was throwing glass bottles at them, eggs. They didn't do anything to them.
Well,
their hands are tied these days.
That's what's going to happen.
I mean,
damn.
We got to defend ourselves.
We need to get together and stand up against that.
Absolutely.
That is not okay.
Did anybody physically get hurt? Do you know?
I don't know. We had left. This was other SOJ members I had heard from that saw that. And then I saw live video footage of them throwing the bottles. I didn't see that anybody got hurt.
Okay.
But
wow.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, Dan has some things he wants to bring up about all that stuff. Do you have anything else, Brandy?
I just kind of wanted to make people aware of what was happening at the rally yesterday.
Well, you're welcome to stay on the line if you want. We've got about 6 minutes to go. You're welcome to stay on there because we still have a line open. So if you want to stay on, if anything Dan's talking
That's
about
right.
here.
I got to finish getting ready for church.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Brandy.
Brandy, you're awesome. Say hi to Brian.
Yep.
I will.
Have him call Dan.
Yeah, there you go.
Call me. We gave out the number.
We'll get you set up.
Okay. He'll get him set up.
Thank you.
You bet.
So, okay. real quick, I'll get back to the Cottonwood, the parades and things like that. Yeah, things are just crazy right now, and it's really kind of a downer to see our culture, our traditions being thrown under the bus like this.
Yeah.
Cottonwood now is a small little town. It's old America. I'm not on the chamber anymore there, but I know they have something planned for the 12th, Christmas lights, things like that. It's not going to be what it was in years past, but I would say come down there and see the tree get lit and just be part of that experience, because that's what we need to get back to. And, you know, that's how I see it.
So is that like the city itself? In
the town. I'm hearing that. So I was involved. Like I said, I do direct the car show, but I'm not involved with this Christmas deal this year. But the parade is such a great idea. And it's the guy, he hit right on the money, because that's something I really want to do, is a big parade.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I was not involved with that this year. So.
Well, if they want to do that, I'm sure we could get a bunch of folks that are willing to do that.
And the other thing about what she said about the protests, how we handle it here in Reading, matter of fact, one of the guys on Fox brought it up, the three cities that most chances are.
Tucker Carlson
said that.
Yep.
Reading was on that list, and we're not sure how we got on, but one of the things that happened was this summer they had a protest where they had BLM, Antifa, protest up at the city of Reading, and we decided to go up there and as patriots, and there was probably 300 of us, but I bet you there was probably 500 of them. We had 85 police on staff. You can kind of see how they were outnumbered. The police just kind of circled around and let the protesters do their thing. Well, when we came up there, you know, instantly we're white supremacists, we're all these, you know, hate groups and all these things. You guys have heard it all.
Yeah.
We were there. Now, people don't believe this, but we're there to protect all of our rights. If we don't agree with the BLM, that's their right. That's still their First Amendment right to protest. Mm-hmm. But when they go across that line and they start breaking things or hurting our police officers or anything like that, that changes the game. And that's all we went up there for. And they knew we were there, but we did not disrupt their meeting. We didn't. And so I even went up to one of the guys right out of the gate and told him, that's what we're here for. We're not here to disrupt your protest. We're here to protect all of our rights.
Hey, you were talking just at the last break, we were talking about once President Trump gets elected, and you're pretty confident about that, that we need to prepare, and we need to be prepared for some things. Can you go into that? We've got about 3 minutes left.
Yeah, let me just say a little. It might sound a little radical right now because all the evidence is not out in public. We're seeing a little bit of trickling out here and there over things. You're seeing meetings across the country in different states, things like that. Next week, you're going to start seeing legislators and maybe the Supreme Court be involved. You're going to start seeing the real evidence start to come out. I believe that Trump's going to win again. And when he does, the left is going to uprise.
Mm-hmm.
And be prepared for that, people. I'm not kidding on this either. Get your family ready. Stock up on food. Have things ready to go at home. Be prepared to defend yourself if need be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I brought up the protests in Reading, when we talked about what Tucker Carlson said, I feel like we're going to be okay, but don't take that for granted. Be prepared either way.
Right.
And just know, I mean, I'd rather go through 3 or 4 months of this chaos than losing our republic forever.
Absolutely.
This is absolutely one of the most important times in American history. I'm feeling like that's coming. So what we're getting ready to see is going to be something that most people have never seen. And so I would be prepared for that. And what we're seeing right now is what I call the Great Awakening. People are seeing things they maybe never saw before. You saw the cities being burned down. By who? Who's running those cities?
Right.
You're seeing the people that are involved with the fraud. By who? We see who's running the fraud.
Mm-hmm.
We see it all.
Mm-hmm.
We know what's going on in California. This has been going on a long time here. And now it's in other states. So we have to win back now. We have to do it now. And if not now, when? If not Trump, then who? He's the guy that's going to fight. So we're in this for this type of a fight, and I think this is big. This is how I see it.
Well, I think that there needs to be a poem for Trump. You inspired me.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
There once was a man named Trump who kicked Biden's rump.
Yeah.
When he was elected, liberty was resurrected, and now Pelosi lives in a dump.
Right. Now, there was a big red wave. There truly was a red wave.
Yeah.
And that's going to be exposed. That fraud is going to be exposed. Be prepared for what's coming, everybody.
Yes, sir.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for coming in. Appreciate it.
And don't be a stranger. Come in anytime you want, my friend.
It's always good to be with you guys.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
We all have to pay. our bill. We had no say. You don't serve us, you serve L.A.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.